Our second reading today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Listen now for the word of God. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "But come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" This is the word of the Lord. Did you hear the story about Mattress Mack? Mattress Mack is Jim McInvale, a Houston businessman. Last week, he turned his two furniture stores into temporary shelters for Tropical Storm Harvey evacuees. As waters rose, he put out a message on the Mattress Mack Facebook page. "Come on over," it said, and he gave out his personal phone number. He even sent delivery trucks out to get people who couldn't get there and needed help. In an interview, Max said, "We sell home theater furniture that you watch TV in. They're sleeping on that. They're sleeping on recliners, sleeping on sofas and love seats. We have sleeper sofas. They pulled them out and slept on that. They're sleeping on hundreds of mattresses throughout the store. They're sleeping on the couches wherever they can find a place that's comfortable, and God bless them." As of last Monday, 400 people were living in his two stores. He even let them bring their pets. If Moses had been in Houston, I wonder what he would have done. Moses' sheer existence was defiance in the face of tragedy. His life was marked with him standing against injustice, yet when God called him to lead from the burning bush, he wasn't so sure. Our scripture last week introduced us to Moses. He was born into a time of terror. Israelites, God's chosen people, had left their land because of famine and had settled in Egypt. Over hundreds of years, rulers forgot the partnership they had with Joseph, the Israelite. The book of Exodus begins with a new Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And this new Pharaoh fears the Israelites because they are strong and there are a lot of them. So he sets forth to enslave and torture them. His plan is to get rid of them by killing their boy babies. Pharaoh did not foresee the obstinate midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, who outsmarted him and ushered in new life. Speaking of midwives, there was quite a story about a midwife in Katy, Texas last week. Kathy Rood is a 24-year veteran midwife, and she didn't know how to get through the water outside of her house that was neck, waist deep in order to get to the home of some clients and deliver their baby. She ended up floating down her neighborhood street on an inflatable swan until she got to dry land a block away, where the expectant mother and her husband were waiting on higher ground with their truck. That evening, baby Bennett was born, delivered by Kathy the midwife. Midwives, it seems, are always an unstoppable force. In the biblical story, the midwives deter Pharaoh's evil plan for a while, but eventually he becomes less discreet and decrees that all male babies be drowned in the Nile. Moses, an Israelite, is born in this time. His mother manages to hide him, and in a wild twist, he's adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter. That's where our story ended last week. A number of years have now passed, and today's scripture starts with an adult Moses out herding sheep. Obviously, we missed some important details. So quickly, Moses grows up as an Egyptian prince and also aware of his Israelite heritage. When he sees an Egyptian person beating a Hebrew person, he kills the Egyptian. Pharaoh hears of this and then wants to kill Moses. So Moses runs. He ends up in Midian, where he marries a woman named Zipporah, whose father Jethro is the priest of Midian. Moses and Zipporah raise their family there, and Moses works as a shepherd. The Pharaoh dies, another king rises over Egypt, and God hears the cries of the Israelites. Moses is out with his father-in-law's sheep when an angel of the Lord appears to him in a burning bush. The bush burns, but is not consumed by fire. Moses takes note. When God sees that Moses is paying attention, God calls his name. Moses, Moses. God goes on to reveal himself to Moses. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God goes on to describe the misery of the Hebrew people in Egypt. God goes into detail and then says, "So come. I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And Moses responds, "Me?" God knew that Moses was uniquely equipped for this role, raised as an Egyptian and an Israelite. Moses could walk this line and have a voice with both groups. He could gain entry into Pharaoh's court, and he could gain the trust of the people. He was the person God knew was right for the job, and he didn't want it. Now, maybe he had fallen in love with sheep herding. Maybe he didn't want the stress. More likely, he was scared of the task at hand and going back to face his demons. Whatever it was, when God called him, Moses said, "No, thank you." I read something this week that suggested that Moses' lack of enthusiasm may have begun much earlier. While I can imagine that his marriage and his life were fulfilling, the fact remains that his life at that point was built on his running away from Egypt. And when we are running from something, we don't live as fully as we might otherwise, because when we're running, whatever we're running from is always in the back of our minds. Not only was God calling Moses to be the human leader in this plan to free the Israelites, God called Moses to go back to the past he ran from. It's one thing to face the demons of your past in a private therapy session or in contemplation and prayer with God. It is another to confront your past on a public stage, which is what God calls Moses to do. Jim Keats suggests that God tried for some time to get Moses' attention. We tend to think that Moses walked right up to the burning bush for this divine dialogue, but take a closer look at the scene. Moses is out in the desert, a place filled with dry plants and hot sun. In an environment like this, an occasional bush fire is bound to happen. Only this time it's different. The bush is on fire, but is not consumed. How many times did Moses walk past this bush, thinking it was just another victim of the rising temperature? How long did it take him to realize that the same bush was still burning and burning and burning? When we're avoiding something, we often miss out on life, but God is persistent. And God decided that Moses was the one who would lead the people away from slavery and into freedom. And in time, Moses answered and grew into God's call for him, but it was never easy. He's not jumping to action and say immediately, absolutely, I'll go to Egypt and serve you. And throughout that time, as his serving went on, he raised questions to God. Back to my earlier question, what do you think Moses would have done if he'd been in Houston last week? Now, despite his response to the burning bush, I do think he would have jumped into action like Mattress Mac or Kathy the midwife. We saw this kind of immediate response from him when he saw a Hebrew person being beaten, when the priest of Midian's daughters were treated wrongly by shepherds. In those situations where short, quick action was needed, Moses was willing to respond. What God called for at the burning bush was not a one-time or one-week commitment. This was the rest of his life. It's crucial that people immediately respond to injustice or to tragedy or crisis, and as important are the people who take the long view, which is what God called Moses to through the fire that did not consume. Last week, Houston needed Mattress Mac. In long term, Houston needs FEMA trailers and church organizations like the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, who will be there for years to help people get firm footing. Moses did go to Egypt, and God used him to free the Israelites. Every day after that burning bush was spent serving and loving God and serving the people. Moses came to know God in ways that we don't often see in Scripture, which is incredible, and he also came to know the depths of disappointment from humanity, both in the faces of the Egyptians and the Hebrew people he led. As followers of this same God, we must be in tune with the immediate needs around us and open to the long-term ways God calls us. It is crucial that Christians act or speak out against injustice, act in the short term, and Christians must be part of the long-term solutions. God calls us to both. Amen.